Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Sunday Podcast, brought to you guys by sportshoes.com. Commies is underway. Euro team's been announced. Matt and I are going to chat through the team. We're going to chat through the races that have gone down and obviously preview that big men's mile on Saturday as the stellar event, I think, in the calendar. But I'm sure we will get some surprise events that really shock us too and that we really enjoy. How are you, mate? You been enjoying the commies?
When I found where to watch it, I was... But no, I have. Obviously, it's a little bit fiddly, isn't it, with TNT? First night when I'm watching it, I was like, hold on a minute, why aren't they showing the athletics? But flicking between the swimming, you got to go on that direct feed. But other than that, no, it's been good. Boy, did it piss down last night. But to be honest, you know, I think Scotland might get some hate for those conditions. It's hammered down before at major championships in much more sort of warmer tropical climates. Even in Tokyo, I think they had a day where it hammered down. Remember back in the day when Bolt ran in Moscow, it hammered down. There was lightning on the track. So, yeah, I think it's natural at all majors, isn't it? But, yeah, that was rough conditions last night. And actually, I really enjoyed... I've enjoyed all the races. And it's just good. It's just good to watch championship races. To be honest, like, there's stuff on the line. The 10Ks were fascinating. There was lots of stuff. I mean, the women's race was just... That was up and down, up and down, up and down. And you could see the effect that had on someone like Megan Keith. She even spoke about it post-race. Throwing in, you know, they were laps in sort of 80, then laps in 70. You know, big, big differentials. Whereas the men was a little bit, they started gradual and started conservatively and then just gradually lifted things. And it wasn't so much surging, but still drama, guys falling. And towards the back end, I noticed a few more surges. They were throwing it from 68 to 65, a little bit more. But I was very impressed with, obviously, Malarkey, credit to him, massive medal for the Isle of Man. But I was very impressed with him and Scott Beattie yesterday. I thought those guys in the championship 10K, they held themselves very well. They coped with all of the drama, surges, fast clothes. They just coped with everything that the race threw at them. And they were bloody good athletes in that field. I don't think the conditions would have helped the Kenyans at all. But they were very, you know, they're all sub 27 minute runners, those Kenyans. 26, 40 something runners. You know, Kerga's a terrific athlete. Kai Robinson just missed out on the medals in Tokyo last year. He's an absolute star of the game. Is Kai, he's a 12:50 performer. And even Singh is another massive, you know, massive star. And for India, but also just an incredible athlete, 27 flat. I think he's dipped under 13 before or run basically 13 flat as well. So, and I thought Beattie and Malarkey, obviously Malarkey gets the medal, but I thought Beattie held his own as well. I was very impressed and it bodes well for the Europeans because it's going to be a tougher test.
Mate, it's just cool to see British athletes up there in a 10K, right, isn't it? Like it's something we've not seen for a long, long time. And I know it's the commies and I know it's not quite as strong. Some of the other competitions, like you said, the Europeans and of course the Worlds and Olympics, but it's a stepping stone. And for these guys, I think it came at a great time. And like you say, they held their own. And yeah, Malarkey with the medal, great performance from him. Really, really, really impressed.
The race allowed them to sort of grow in confidence throughout the race. In a 10K, the longer it goes and you're still there, I think you are.
And that's
the
problem at the big ones, isn't it?
When you look at the velocity that these guys can hold, and even in the women's race, when we saw the Kenyan Wanza, and then obviously Rose Davis give chase, it was just those consistent hard laps from, she started pushing from about, I want to say about 6-7K that Kenyan. It was quite a stint out. Rose Davies even, she hit the front with about 800 to go, possibly even a K ticket. So It was much further out. Things really were squeezing, and they'd had to suffer through a lot more surges early on. That was much more of a possible world championship style final in that women's race.
Mm.
So I do think our lads were allowed to sort of get in it, but they showed that they can beat some huge names in championship conditions, and when the race is a 27:40, 27:50 race, which I think is very, very impressive. Yeah, obviously that next step is now go run 27 minutes, because that's how you get into a world championship. That's a whole different skill altogether. But I was impressed with how they raced and tactically, and they just coped with everything. So huge run, big breakthrough for them.
Yeah, certainly is. And shameless little plug here, but if you do want to catch up on the results of the commies, we decided that they were a bit too hard to get hold of. So we have actually created a little website for you to get your commies results, and that should be updating as they come out, really. So like pretty much instantaneously, should be updating throughout the week. So that is in the link on our Instagram bio. Okay, that is live now. So go check that out, favorite it, whatever. And you should be able to get your live commies results as quick as possible, and we're going to be trying to update that kind of website over the coming days to keep improving it. There's a few little tweaks we'd like to make in there as well.
Yeah, because it is the faff to find these commies results and commies entries and everything like that, and heats and start lists. It has been a bit of a faff. So thanks to AI, thanks to a few contacts, we've streamed it down a little bit, stripped it back, and just got the results just where you need them in our Instagram bio. Save the link and enjoy that for the next week. But
absolutely.
I mean, any more thoughts on that men's 10? Kai Robinson was mightily impressive. He was conserving himself, I think, for, you know, all it took was a 56 last lap and he runs away from the field. He was definitely conserving himself for the 5K to come. I think he is the heavy favorite for the 5K, looking at the field. Once again, he's the man in form, and he did well to control things. He didn't make things particularly hard, and that was the difference between him and the Kenyan in the women's race, Wanza. You know, she really made things hard, sort of 5-6 laps to go. He didn't. He sort of picked it up enough that he was able to separate himself with sort of 3 or 4 others, you know, Singh, Kergat, Malarkey, and BT. Those guys separated themselves. I mean, I am stunned. When you actually, Daniel Benio, for God's sake, it was bronze medalist at the World Cross.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this guy got a silver medal, I'm pretty sure, at the 10K Champs 2023 at Budapest, over the 10,000 at the World Champs at Budapest. Like, he is a absolute animal, Daniel Benio. He's like a 59-minute half marathon runner, maybe even quicker. And he comes across the line and he's smiling and he was congratulating Ollie Lockley, which I think would have been a special moment for Ollie Lockley when he finished. And I think he was just having a good time in those conditions. I'm just not sure those Kenyans were able to. Ishmael Kuri as well. Yeah, he's a 26:40 man. I was stunned.
Well, maybe
they
that's
didn't.
The answer, mate. Maybe that's the answer. We need to host some world championships, host some Olympics in some cold, rainy conditions. We need to bid for a December Olympics in London, and host some track races.
Well, yeah,
in freezing cold.
I was surprised they didn't have an impact on the race at any point. You know, the people who had an impact on this race were the guy from Lesotho, who led for a large part. Butchie had a little bit of fun up at the front every now and again, and Kai Robinson started to control things. Like, yeah, I know Kergat lost his shoe, to be fair. That cost him, I think he ran a 75-second lap when he lost his shoe 14 laps into this race. And Cherup, the poor Ugandan, ran shoeless for over half of this race. I don't know how many people noticed that because he had white socks on, but yeah, he ran without a shoe as well. But so that affected things, but yeah, they just never, they just didn't look
part
like they ever
though,
tried
isn't it?
To win it.
Do you know what I mean?
They it's didn't try and win.
If they'd grown up in UK cross country, they'd have taped their spikes up. So,
yeah, it was. So it was in the end, it was an easy victory for Kyle Robinson, I think, and and a good battle in behind. Kergat hasn't been at his best, but yeah, BT and actually, I looked at BT and I thought, I think it was a great run. I think he possibly even could have come higher up. I think he could have maybe gunned Kogar down. He was not far behind. And
we've said that a bit about BD, haven't we, in recent years?
This is why, you know, hopefully.
There, but not there.
Yeah, but hopefully this race will. I mean, Malarkey's full of running, full of confidence. But I look at this and I'm like, this race should give BT going into Euros now a lot of confidence. Hey, look, I can compete with these guys. I can handle a 65 second lap, then a 68 second lap. You know, I can handle a little bit up and down. If it's relentless, I think what happens with all of them, if it's just too fast from the gun, you know, inevitably this was more of a sort of 6-7K race. Not much happened for 3K. It was very controlled. The problem is when they get after it from K1 or K2 and then that comes back to bite you in K6, K7 and that's a different race altogether. But yeah, and on the women's side then, the women's 10, better conditions. Rose Davies are very impressive. I think she...
Blew the field away, really, didn't she?
Yeah, like I
know, like you said, Wanza did a lot of the work, but as soon as Rose Davies wanted to, she's just in full control. And it's pretty cool seeing Aussies top of both podiums.
Mate, they're going to have a hell of a chance.
You said not long ago, Australia just killing it now.
Yeah, they're kind of. Honestly,
I think I responded with ask because it's in season for them down under. But yeah, I mean, they've carried on into the champs.
They're gonna have a hell of a champs. They got Cam Myers to go in the mile. What an upset that would be if you beat Josh Kerr in the women's mile. I think they could well have a sweep. They've got Jess Hull, Abby Caldwell, Claudia Billingsworth. I'm looking at that mile field. I mean, let me just get the entries up again, but I think they sweep that.
Yeah, we can preview those miles now.
Yeah, I mean, Claudia Hollingsworth, Abby Caldwell, Jess Hull. I mean, they are all some of the best 1500 meter runners in the world. We've got Kate Snow and Rebbe Walcott Nolan. They're not going to beat the Aussies. The Kenyans have got three Kenyans in there that, okay, Teresa Kateri, Naomi Carrier, and Rosemary Longasiwa. Have you heard of them? No.
Don't need to though sometimes, do you?
No, maybe there will be a standout performer. I do look back and you got to remind yourself how bloody good the Commonwealth Games were in 2022. I mean, Kiplimo running 27.0 for the 10K, Beatrice Chebet, Eilish McColgan, like that men's 1500, Cheruiyot Hall, Whiteman, the Commonwealth Games in 2022 was a terrific standard.
Do you know what? I do think that there wasn't there talk around then of that being the last ever commies, though.
Yeah.
It was in
a busy year where I think a lot of people were like, Worlds was before it. So a lot of people were like, yeah, I'll go do commie games. It wasn't that close. I mean, it was very close to Europeans and Worlds, but it was after Worlds, which is the important one for the big, big stars. And just back to this women's mile, Sarah Calvert, Gemma Ricci, Aaron Wallace, and Scott. So yeah, I think that. Yeah, those Aussie women sweep that mile for me. They're all good kickers as well. They've all been winning diamond leagues. So it's going to, back to our point, it could be a very successful. Kyle Robinson will win the men's five. Rose Davies, I think Jess Hull's in the women's five as well. Rose Davies, Lyndon Hall and Jess Hull. I mean, that too. I mean, Hannah Nutter will have something to say about that. The Kenyans aren't that strong. Muir and Megan Keith, I don't think can kick. With the Aussies, can kick with Nuttall, to be honest with you.
No.
And then you have got Joy Cheptiak and a couple of Uganders in there, but Melissa Cornick-Bryant, again, I mean, it could well be another gold. So yeah, they're having a phenomenal comps and they've just got phenomenal, phenomenal distance runners right now. Plus, Lachlan Kennedy runs 9.85 in the 100. I don't know what Australia are doing, but they're better than us right now.
Yeah, they don't have a Europeans to prepare for though, do they? So I think it's slightly different, but I hear you. They're doing absolute bits. Before we get into the rest of our previews, I guess the one other race that we have had distance wise is the men's steeple that we saw the other night. And talking about sweeps, mate, what other country than Kenya to sweep the men's steeplechase?
Yeah. Three very good Kenyans. It was going to be tough, I think.
Did Sarum do the Gyokere celebration as well? Is that what he's doing over the line? The Bane mask.
I was saying it's a Gyokere celebration, but yeah, I do know what the Gyokere celebration. For some reason, I thought Gyokere. I was hearing Djokovic. I was like, what does Djokovic do? But yeah, now yeah, no, I think he did. Kyle Robinson did the Cole Palmer celebration. He's a Chelsea fan, clearly. I could see him watching Chelsea games, actually. I could see him watching Chelsea. Hey, look, no, the men's deep. I mean, these guys are, they're world-class, all of them. Sarum, I was surprised, Sarum. I mean, Coach was was mucking about it a bit. He was like really, he's coming out of the water, drifting wide into lane two.
Well, he's the one, mate. And I think we said this he's the next big boy. But like you say, just needs to lock in and actually win.
Because race to win. The thing is, in Kenya, they actually don't care that much who gets the gold as long as they sweep. Like, that's always been their priority. You go back and watch, greatest race of all time is the 2003 World Champs. It's the 2003 or 05, Shaheen versus Kemboi. And what they're trying to do to get a Kenyan sweep is the tactics in play. That is one of the most fascinating races of all time. But and so I think that they'll be happy enough. Jordi Beamish just could not get on this. He's running the mile as well as Beamish. So there's another name to look out for, Sam Tanner and him for New Zealand in the mile. If he doesn't seem to be at his best over the steeple this year, he just looked to suffer through that middle part of the race.
And that's this should be the race that he absolutely laps up. One in 18.
Yeah.
This
is his race.
At prime territory for him. Like, we don't expect him to win the Diamond Leagues that are one in sub 8 or even 8 minutes. But
the guy has
come off a couple big years, and you can't just keep churning out. I don't think.
Yeah, where Beamish seems to struggle is when the middle part of the race really kicks on, and what happened? Yeah, they go 68, basically 68, 69 first lap. Then they run a 71, then they run another 68 for three laps. So those first three laps are outside 8:30 pace. It's controlled, but in they run a couple of 65s. They run a 209, 210, middle 800 from a mile to 2400. And Beamish seems to hate that. He seems to hate that when that middle bit is hard. It was windy as well, so it's probably worth a lot more effort-wise. And then he suffers back to a 67 and then does what he does, rallies. He was lucky he had a couple Canadians just lining up in front of him. The Gagnes sort of getting after it, trying to get amongst the Kenyans. Whereas you look at Beamish, you're like, why didn't you just go with those Kenyans? Like, okay, they surge. They threw in a couple of 64 lows, but you're capable of doing that, man. But clearly he's not. I thought it was, Mark Pierce's having a steady season. I think it was always going to be hard for him to really.
Yeah, a tough day for the Brits.
It's tough for the Englishman in this to challenge, because you've got three world-class Kenyans. You've got Beamish in a world champion. Deganez is a low 8:10, 8:12, 8:13 performer. And it's like, well, what do you do? There's just a golfing class, and unfortunately, there's no one to bridge that gap. I thought Imroth, though, the way the race played out, I thought he might enjoy that, given, don't forget, this guy did at British Champs and closed in basically a 2:42, was it, or 2:43 at British Champs. Did Christian Imroth, it was a mega, mega last K. And probably even the last 12. And they started quick at Champs. But again, it goes back to the same old thing. At Champs, they rested in the middle of the race. And Imroth, credit to him, he went with it in the middle part of that race. He started running some 66s and it cost him towards the back end. It just numbs your legs. And so I think the way the race actually, a lot of people, you don't see the damage being done on screen because everyone's still in it. But even just the fact they threw in a few 64s, 65s, for and run a 209 to 211 800 in the middle, it hurt a lot of people when that steeple.
Yeah, it's just too quick for them boys and where they're at
that point in the race. This is the margins at that point in the race is too quick. If it was in the first couple of laps and they can recover, not too quick. And obviously, if it's in the back end of the race, it's not too quick. But at that point in the race, it just hurts. And it just causes you to go way above that red line. And then you just, unfortunately, you just can't come back. And once you realize, you haven't got much to run for. If you're in off of your peers, Canadians, you've been dropped by that point. There's no one to help you bridge that gap. It's tough to rally after that. So, but they'll prepare for, Imroth will prepare for the Europeans. Good experience for him. But yeah, I mean, what did you think? Did you expect more from Megan Keith in the women's 10? I don't know if we spoke about that enough, but I mean, Izzy Fry and Poppy Tank, tough race for them. I think the surging just took it out of them.
Yeah, Megan Keith's a funny one because I think we do bill her as the next big thing, if you like to take over from Ailish, I guess, and start to bridge that gap from a British perspective anyway. I also think home champs in Scotland for her you maybe expect a bit more, but then you look at the athletes who beat her, and I don't think we see Megan Keith enough
in championship races, because she don't do them. She don't do British champs.
Like, to get good at doing that, you know?
I agree.
Like, it's all very well coming out once a year and demonstrating that you can run a quick time. But I don't know, maybe that's unfair. She obviously races.
No, put it this way, I mean,
she has had injury issues, but did I expect better? Maybe, but maybe that's because I'm biased in that, like, I think sometimes I just say, because I like seeing the British athletes do well, that I normally predict that they'll do really well. But actually, she better than any of those athletes, really.
What, than the Brits or the other women in the race?
No, the other women in the race. Like, she's kind of nice.
Well, no.
Is there anyone in there that she should be beating?
Yeah, look, so to be fair, you know, with in that regard, actually, when you look at the results, was it Lauren Ryan who was fifth, the Australian? Megan Keith is very evenly matched to Lauren Ryan on paper. I think they've both run 30-30 for 10K on the actual
track.
But
Lauren Ryan races week in, week out at a top level. You see her race all the time. And so like, yes, your PBs might be the same, but Lauren Ryan consistently proves that she can get in world-class fields and compete. That's the difference.
Mm. Yeah, no, I agree. Megan Keith has made some strange decisions this year, obviously doing the London 5000 the week before the British Champs, then not running the British Champs, which was also a 5000. Yeah, that was like 3 days after Diamond League. Then obviously she's preparing for the Commie Games.
That's what I mean. I could understand if you did a Diamond League 5K instead of the British Champs, because if you can get in one, great. But actually, her winning that British Champs 5K, or trying to win that British Champs 5K, would have probably been better prep. Have an absolute dust up with Hannah Nuttall, you know?
Yeah, I got no doubt. I got no doubt.
So,
So I think it was clear, yeah, that obviously just paying a price. We'll see what she can do in the five, paying a price for those. I mean, the lap splits were crazy in that women's 10K. That was, yeah, the big contrast. And that one lap would be 80, the next would be 70. It was like, when you do that, that's a big difference to be coming on and off the gas all the time.
That's why a 10K is the best race, though.
It is. And yeah, when you fully watch them unfold, so I have enjoyed them. Yeah, to answer your very first question, mate, I have really enjoyed it. I thought Rose Davies seems to be coming of age and getting stronger and stronger every year. And now she's, the Aussies have come here and they've really targeted this as winning these races and coming away with a champion medal. So, mate, should we move to we spoke about a mile a little bit. Let's just move to those eight because that's going to be the next finals coming up. I mean, it's Georgia Bell versus Lillian Odira, right? And that will be fascinating.
Yeah, it will. It will. And obviously, we're hanging the medal around Georgia's neck, aren't we?
I mean, don't forget, Odira is the world champion. She was the one who beat Keely Apri. And actually, I'm surprised not to see Georgia Bell in the 800 at the Europeans doing a double. I think she might have had a few issues coming off the back of Apri.
Well, she did, didn't she? Because that's why she pulled out last week. In London as well, so
yeah
she's obviously had some issues.
If she hasn't had those issues, would she be doubling at Europeans?
But equally, they're not bad enough to pull out of commies. Because was really having issues,
championship gold on the line. So yeah, I think that's she's not going to have it all her own way. I actually, with momentum. If the weather's good, I think if it's pissing down and whatnot, I don't think Odira will fancy it as much as Georgia Bell. But if the weather's good, I do think Lillian Odira could well cause an upset here. And then on the men's side, I think Max Bergin's looking very good. This is an event where we could get British 1-2. Patterson and Bergin.
Yeah, certainly. And I think they both need it. They both need something to help them kick on because they're kicking around.
I don't know. Bergin is fucking top of his game. Patterson's like meddling at majors. I think what you're saying is they need to get a big run out here. That'll give them the confidence to go to Europeans and go challenge for medals at Europeans.
If they don't medal at the commies, right? I don't think they don't come back and medal at Euros.
Bergin definitely medals. Bergin wins this thing.
No, but I'm saying if he doesn't, and he doesn't.
Patterson
what is what I'm saying?
Well. Yeah, no.
I'm saying they need to.
Yeah, yeah.
They need to because
build that momentum.
They both want to, like you say, they both want to max, but they want to win the Olympics, both of them. So if you want to win the Olympics, you got to be meddling at commies now, at least, is what I'm saying. Both of them. You ask both of them what your goal is for LA. I guarantee they both say, I want to win. They're not the sort of athlete. They're not saying, I want to qualify for LA or I want a medal.
Been there, yeah, they've been
yeah. I mean, so they have
come very close. I mean, and Patterson's medal at the world. So, and a commies before.
They have
to. Yeah, I agree.
They have to. That but just, probably where their mindset is. On Georgia Bell, though, like I know you said about the good thing about Georgia Bell, Georgia Bell is not going to try and run away from that Aunt Jemima Field.
She'll be tactically very, very smart. Yeah.
That's right. And so I just can't see her losing. Like the only, like she's not going to go out and try and be like, well, I'm just going to run 155 at the front and hope that's enough. She's just going to be in exactly the right place at the right time and she'll win.
Adira has a great last 100 though. And but
yeah, but Georgia Bell won't let it get to the point where she's leading it with 100 to go.
There's a few in there that few in there that make it honest. Obviously, you got Sekadiso, the South African. She tends to just follow, but doesn't seem to be at her best at all. But Maloney is definitely one who will push things on and does like a fast first lap or a reasonable first lap at least. So I think Adira is definitely dangerous off a strong pace, less dangerous off of a real tactical. I think that's where someone like Georgia could sneak it. But yeah, all to run for in that women's eight. Women's steeples tonight, Elise Stauner is going in on paper, third fastest. Would be amazing to see her grab a medal. I think she's definitely capable. She's up against some very good Africans, sub-9-minute steeplers. But if the weather's good, it's such a shame because last night it was absolutely roasting down where I am. And yeah, you turn on the TV, you're like, how is it just torrential rain up there? But yeah, if the weather's good tonight.
I kind of like it, you know, like, honestly, because we don't really, well, I don't really care about the times that they run. So actually, it just makes it a bit more interesting.
Well, it must be a bloody good track because for those guys to run 9.8 in the 100, there's like five of them sub 10. I thought, Jesus. I know they had a small following wind of 1.3, but it must be fast. Amy Hunt, sub 11, it's a very good. It must be a good
and she yeah, and she's saying, oh, yeah, scrappy race as well. But it's like, obviously it's scrappy when the weather's that bad.
So all I'm saying is there is, if Thorner can just follow, there is potential to run a British record tonight.
Mm.
Definitely. Right, mate. Shall we, what else do we need to, I mean, some early predictions. For the mile, obviously you've got Kerr, you've got Myers, you've got Whiteman, you've got Chariot. Beamish, Tanner, Ollie Hall. Now I'm looking at it. Obviously, Jake Hayward's in there as well. And I'm looking at it. I'm going, I think, just Wyman, I'm always unsure about. He is someone who might look really, really good in the heat. And then I'll change my mind. But if we have to call it.
Mate, about 3 days before 2-2-2, you were saying that Wyman was the favourite for the commies.
No.
When he ran the K, Wyman's the favourite. Yeah. Wyman's the man to beat.
But if he's had, you know, if he's been fatigued or had a few setbacks or whatever, you know, there was a reason why he's won
every year, though. Absolutely every year he's fatigued or had setbacks or missed something here, there.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
it'll be fine.
To be honest, I still go one, but I think it'd be a huge upset if Kerr loses and, maybe damages that image. Damage that image. Your world record holder, you've done something no one else has done before. Triple two.
Especially
if it's the
mile as well. Bang. Especially it's back for a mile. No, I actually get 1500. If it's a 1500, it wouldn't even be as much pressure.
I'll tell you this. I think, yeah, Cam Myers.
But the non-athletics world are now watching, thinking, oh, this new mile world record holder. And do you know what's cool, actually? I think is how, like, Kerr's mile record. I've had, like, the same amount of people, like, I guess, non-running folk, if you like, reach out to me in person or via text or whatever as I would get when we had like sub twos.
Yeah.
but we're actually getting that for a track middle distance race, which is so good to see. Because it's something that never had really. Like the only time I get it is, oh, Kipchoge's doing this. Or are we finally seeing a sub two? Obviously, when in London, when we had two of them. But yeah, that's what I think is cool. It's people actually interested in middle distance running. And it's, I think it's because it's the mile, not the 1500. That's why people outside of the sport, if you like, got so excited about it.
It's a little bit more relatable for sure. Like even just reading a mile first 1500. Yeah, I do agree with that. I mean, it's the headline.
Yeah, I can't see him losing, right?
I mean, if Myers does win, I mean, Jesus, he is. Yeah, be very impressed.
Hey, you love that guy, don't you?
Well, he is probably like outside of Kurt. He is the best 1500 meter runner in the world this year, really. So he's the next best. He's the next guy. He's the next guy, is the words of Jakob. But he's the challenger, really. Yeah, he's winning Diamond Leagues. He's running 3:28. Very good 5K.
Yeah.
He's class.
But he's not as good as Wyman.
No, and it depends. I mean, what I'm fascinated is this race is, I don't think anyone takes this race on. So it's going to be a really good watch. It's not going to be 55, 56 first lap. And
but
it's going to be okay.
Go?
What a tactic.
Not that slow. It's not going to go that slow. Or maybe it will. Do you know, I would love that. Because to be fair, who in that field is really going to take this up? Because Wyman's not. Kerr's not. Like you say, Myers isn't. Hayward's not going to.
Yeah, for me, either Kerr or Myers will control this from a long way out. I think Kerr or Myers controls this race, or at least gets to the front of this race with sort of 600 meters to go or something like that. I would be surprised if they don't, if one of them doesn't. But Wyman is very, very good. The reason I like Wyman for the title is because he's a very, very good positioner. And if it is a little bit slow and it is a little bit cagey, Wyman positions himself very well. I might have jinxed it. He might get it wrong on a day, but usually
I think he's got a better turn of pace than Kerr. Say 300 out, someone's like going. I think Wyman's sharper in that.
He's 100% sharper. And I think also his last 100 is better. But Kerr is the fastest human being we've ever seen over the mile. So is that enough to go and win commies? Danny Mackey spoke about the pace change. But yeah, I don't know how it's going to play out, but it definitely will be. Yeah, I imagine it will be tactical. Anyone who leads this is setting themselves up, especially if the conditions are rough, if it's a bit blustery or if it's a bit cold or it's a bit or if it's a bit wet, you're setting yourself up. And so everyone's going to be looking at one another. Yeah, we could well see, you know, just someone like Ollie Hall just go to the front. Or whatever. Jake Hayward's in there as well. He can finish fast. So, yeah, Tom King. Got to make the final
first.
That's
what I mean. That's what I mean. I don't think any of those boys want to go to the front, though.
Mm.
Maybe Ollie Hall, but I don't think so.
No.
I think a lot of them, they're racing for bronze medals, so they're not at the front.
The beauty
so it could
game.
Go. It could go really slow.
Yeah.
I want to see 3:45s again.
Yeah. But I still think Myers or Kerr will control things from a decent distance out, whether it be 800 to go, 600 to go, because if it's that slow, Kerr likes to stay out of trouble. Myers likes to just squeeze things down. You know, anyway.
Should we check Euros, mate?
Let's move on. I think we've covered it. Enjoy the commies. I'm really enjoying the races, and just you don't know what to really expect because you don't know what shape people are coming in. The conditions are obviously playing their part as well. So, yeah, the commies actually has been a much better watch than I thought. Shall we talk about the Euros? Yes. I mean, the big headline for the Euros announcement is Jakob is going to double in the 5 and the 15 again. Could he do the double quadruple?
Mate,
he's done the triple double. Could he do the quadruple double?
Just firstly, just love that Jakob's running, put out a post and basically said, if you wait for the timing to be perfect, you'll never do anything. And so he's just going to do it. And whatever people
sounds
say
like an
about
excuse
Jakob,
to me.
No, I don't think so at all, mate. I think it's brilliant that he's racing. Because I
he
was a bit worried that we, I was a bit worried we wouldn't see him again, mate. I was like,
He loves to race.
Gonna
and
do it,
Yeah, I think he's very, very pleased that he is racing. And I think, you know, in his head, he's probably gone, well, look, I'm training. I might not be right at my best. He might be. He might be getting near. But yeah,
he's just got nothing to prove, though, has he?
He's got nothing to prove. And he's just like, you know what? I'll just get in there and I'll race. And maybe this is an opportunity for him. I mean, I definitely see it as an opportunity for him to go, okay, the 1500, the landscape has changed. When he was at his best, he was head and shoulders better than everyone else. People have matched him on foot speed now. Now they're actually improving tactically. They're better than him tactically as well. And he needs to find a new way. It's a bit like we were talking about Keeley the other day. Keeley needs to find a way right now to beat Jorge Vera, who, by the way, ran 50 point at the Swiss National Champs. Look fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, an incredibly fast 400. Backs it up with a Nader's 4A double weekend. Busy weekend for her, praying for the Euros. But she needs to find a new way to beat someone who's quicker than her. And I think Jakob needs to find a way. He needs to learn, if he's going to commit to the 1500 for the rest of his career, he needs to find a way. Okay, how do I now reinvent myself to become the best? Because he's never going to win a championship racing the way that he's always raced.
No. He's not.
At a world level. Even at Europeans, I think it's going to be difficult now.
Yeah, not over 1500 anyway. I just can't wait till he's running 10Ks. Let's just hope that does happen. But it's exciting. And obviously, we then got a strong British contingent going up against him. No Kerr, but we will have Whiteman. We will have Haywood. And then thankfully as well, Arlo's got a call up. Obviously Josh not running, so they didn't have to make that decision between him and Haywood. So it's great to see him in the team after his British Champs performance.
Huge opportunity, mate. We'll talk about the British team. I mean, firstly, it's stacked and it's full. 98 people across all the disciplines, but all the distance races are full. There's three in every race. Yeah, it's amazing. That's exactly what you want.
Yeah, and it's all we've ever asked for.
Long may that continue. And this is why.
Five in the marathons.
But this is, yeah, five in the marathons. And this is why early season, I was saying, why aren't more people attacking? Like, why didn't more people do the 10K trial? Because you know that it's on home soil, the Europeans, but the Europeans notoriously, they do want to give developing athletes a chance. They do take a massive team to Europeans. Worlds is obviously a different story altogether, but it's an opportunity to get that GB vest. And you had to prioritize going to the European Championships. And so I'm surprised that some people didn't, you know. But those who did do the 10K trial, as he fried Bobby Tang, pays off. You know, we had loads of women who'd run sub 32 minutes on the roads. Didn't fancy it. And then again, you know, Wakefield, obviously Malarkey and Beattie didn't do the trial, but Wakefield did. And he's been picked.
Yeah. And then Westy in the 5K comes back, races once. Runs British champs,
yeah.
Gets himself a spot, subject to ranking, but puts himself in the position to get picked, despite having not an ideal build up with surgery, etc.
Yes,
it's crazy to me because, like, you look at that and you're like one guy in the 5K, and you think all the guys that maybe a couple of years ago were like real close to those times, and then have just moved on because they missed out, and like now they're running halves and marathons. And you're like,
I was interested. Well, I was interested that Malarkey, I mean, he might not have had a choice, actually. I was just thinking, I was surprised that he went, that he's opted. Oh, no, he wasn't. He's in a world ranking position. I was surprised he's opted for the 10K over the 5, actually, after what's going to be a busy commie. So I was, yeah, that was probably my surprise. Because he could have been an athlete in on the 5K team for sure, but yeah, what?
He's a big strength guy, though, isn't he?
He's a big strength guy. I mean, look, to put it into context, the final spot in the rankings, right? Andreas Halvorsen, a Norwegian, his personal best over 5K, 13:18. So he's a long way off, actually, off the standard of 13:08. What's his points? 1160 points, which isn't—it's not crazy. Very. So we'll talk you through this guy's stats. He's 13:18, man. He's a 3:34 performer. 13:27 on the road. These are all this year, by the way. He's run all these PBs this year. Yeah. So it's doable to get in those ranking spots. Scott Beattie was in the ranking spot over 5K. won't go. Brian Faith, George Mills won't go. So yeah, actually, when you actually look at the rankings, it's more achievable than you first think.
Yeah, I guess it's refreshing maybe for the athletes to see that British athletics are considering rankings now, because obviously a few years ago, it kind of didn't mean anything. And so now, I guess if this continues, as an athlete, you can think, okay, how can I target rankings now that these are taken into consideration? Because 2 years ago, there was actually no point, because they're not going to take you anyway. So
yeah,
I guess that's our 5K, 10K teams and a 1500 team on the men's side we've gone over. Steeplechase, Basil's in there. Imroff's in there. Your brother's in there, Zach Seddon. 800, similar to commies, mate. We got Bergen, we got Patterson, and then Bottrell's in there as well.
Yeah.
And then, like we said, 5 for the marathon. So Johnny Miller, Mahomet Mohamed, Wenny Gebrselassie, and then Tuolde Megnez and Ellis Cross are in there, subject to rankings.
Yeah, I don't know why it says that in a marathon, because I think that's done. That's an absolute lock. On that one. So no, we've got very strong teams. We've got the best teams, and there's not one decision you're like, oh, I don't know how they made it in there. Maybe, I don't know, women's eight, Erin Wallace sneaks on. I was surprised, obviously, maybe Georgia Hunter-Bell stayed in the 1500 to allow Wallace to run the eight. But yeah, that was probably my one surprise, that she's not doubling given the form she's in. But otherwise, yeah, as expected for the European Championships, very strong team. Let's see how they do. In Birmingham, actually just got some tickets the other day. There's still obviously not the big popular weekend tickets, but actually the tickets during the week for some of the semi-finals, some of the heating stuff, £18 up in Rose Ed. But I thought, bargain.
Mate, is you not fancy just getting a press pass? Could have done some interviews for us, mate.
I think we've left it too late. I'll still do interviews. I'll just do it around the ground, just do it outside the stadium.
There you go, you've heard it. So if you're going on a Tuesday night and you're sat in Rose Ed, go find that. Just to confirm, obviously, that women's team. So in the 8, Boffy, Keeley, Gemma Riki, Erin Wallace. In the 15, Georgia Bell, Laura Muir, Katie Snowden. 5K, Innes, Hannah Nuttall, India Weir. 10K, Izzy Fry, Megan Keith, Poppy Tank. Steeplechase, Stephen Lawrence Wrist, Elisa Dorner, Sarah Tate, and in the marathon, Abby Donnelly, Natasha Wilson, Rose Harvey, Clara Evans, and Louise Small. So yeah, packed. Absolutely packed.
It is packed. It's packed. Now, something which is going to impact those European teams is obviously this weekend, it's going to be Commonwealth Games. It's the Wimbledon 5000. That might not impact the European teams, but it is IFAM, it is Belgium. And it is one of the fastest meets in Europe when we're talking from a sort of 5K standpoint. So I'll talk you through some of the Brits to look out for. Although on the men's side, Westy is down to run. And I wonder if he's just going to stay where he is and save himself, because that would mean, you know, running a 5K this weekend and then having a double back sort of a couple of weeks after for the Europeans, whether he's deep in preparation or not. But he's down to run from a British standpoint. So is Jason Murray in the 5K. Matt Ramsden's going in the 5K. Ben Portica's, Will Barnico's going in the 5K after sort of making his return. Scott Beattie is down for the 5K. Surely not. But he is down to run in Belgium. Brian Fay, Aaron Gabry-Mariam, who ran 13:15, I know that he is seeking British citizenship, so he could well be our future 5,000 meter star, but has a British flag next to his name on the Belgium start list. Whether that sort of transfer allegiance has all gone through yet or not. But some of the bigger names as well, Abdi Nour, Liam Murphy, Woody Kincaid, who won the US 10K Challenge, Casey Nebelbard, John Heymans, 13-0 man. So it's Anna Sassai,
stacked.
Carlos Pinto. It's always stacked in Belgium. That's your men's five. We'll definitely be putting some results out for this. In the women's five, Kerry Hughes is doing. India Weir is down to run. Almini Roker, Amelia Quirk, all also down to run as well. So expect, I mean, yeah, can India wear better that 15:01? How's she shaping up ahead of that Europeans selection? Alicia Monson, Maddie Skyring, Diane Vanez is in there as well. A couple of good Italians, Del Bueno and Palmero. They've been on British soil quite a lot. They did that 10K last year, didn't they? Men's or women's 15, but just looking now, any Brits in there? Oh, no. I'll ask because it's the after program. Silly me. Let me have a quick look. Molly Hudson, Kate Axford, Holly Dixon, Mina Scatchard, Emily Parker, Gemma Finchelli, Leather. Decent. decent 15 entries. There's not that many big names in the women's 15, though, to sort of that you'd see go like low four or sub four. But I mean, it's going to be one of those races. I'll tell you what is shaping up really well. We spoke to Tim Brennan last week at BMC Grand Prix in St. Mary's. Men's 15, Henry McLuckie, Cam Boyk, Adam Fogg, Callum Elson, Ted Higgins, Henry Jonas, Alex Riley, Tyler Billiard, and the man who's making one hell of a comeback, Matt Stonier. And this meet, by the way, is basic, and Batchelor's in the steeple. This meet is basically, it's a World Championship qualifying meet. They host it in August every year. People are after World Championship qualifiers. Obviously, now the standards are incredibly high. The entries are not good enough to be going for some of those world qualifiers. So I imagine it's just going to be, let's just run as fast as possible and get that ranking, get those ranking points up and get close to those world qualifiers.
Yeah, and as Stonier's running, the Stonier Ultras will be out in force, I'm sure. So there'll be a nice, good atmosphere down there.
It's going to be a tough... Yeah, when's that men's eight final? It could be a tough split for You've Got To Go fans, because they might have to decide... The women's eight final, is it men's eight final on Saturday as well? Let's have a look. Yeah, it is. Yeah, men's eight final Saturday and Stonier on Saturday. So you'll have to choose which You've Got To Go presenter you like most. Ben Patterson or Matt Stonier?
Yeah, there you have it. Even split, I reckon. Right. Yeah, let's not ask our listeners which of us they prefer. Right. I think that wraps us up, mate. You did well there to keep going nice and professional with Chili barking. She all right?
Yeah, we got another dog here who's winding her up at the moment.
Is that what it is?
Two crazy dogs at the moment. Apologies for that. AI will hopefully cut that out. No, good podcast. I mean, we'll be back. I hope you all enjoyed the Clara Lukin episode, by the way. The humble Slovenian.
Mm-hmm.
Relentless.
And it was nice to hear that she's been listening to the pod for a few years as well.
Real talk. Big fan. Nice. 29.51 for 10K. Very impressive. And is going to be running the European Championships. But we'll be back on Sunday and we will review IFAM. Hopefully some big results there to talk about. We'll obviously review the Commonwealth Games as well. And we'll start to preview what's coming up in that next week.
Certainly is. So just a reminder, stay in touch with the commies. Check out the link in our Insta. Get on the website. One of the updates has just gone live now, so you can see kind of, notable races that are upcoming on each day, as well as the live results. So the results are already coming in today. They will include sprint results as well. So unlike us, if you are kind of general athletics fans and you do enjoy all events, we've put them all on there as well. So it's not just distance bias like the podcast is. So make sure you check that out too. Thanks for listening to us and we'll catch you guys very, very soon.
Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.